Thanks for spending time with Fusion Community Church through our podcast. These can be accessed anytime through iTunes or on our website, fusioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you enjoy today's message from Pastor Andrew Fetter.
In the middle of a breakdown, where you feel stuck, you feel scared, trapped, hopeless, and out of control, screaming at the top of your lungs, maybe even just inside. This is a breakdown. Breakdowns happen. We don't plan for them. We don't sign up for them. We don't get in line for them, but they take place. Like a roller coaster, there's ups and downs in life, and oftentimes these are the moments, the situations that take us by surprise, that have the potential to scare us a little, maybe even scare us a lot. You go out on a date with someone, and you're excited. Seems like you've been single for a very long time. Seems like here there's a lot in common, that there's a lot of connection, and you see great potential here. But as you begin to get hopeful, they're not calling you back. You find that person that completes you. You finally get married after wondering what it would be like and dreaming about the day, the ceremony, the moment when you walk down the aisle. You have such hope for the future of this marriage, and then a few years goes by, stress and tension enter the home, and now you're struggling. And marriage isn't everything that you thought it was now. You start your career. It took you a long time to find this specific vocation. Maybe most of your life trying to figure out what it is you wanted to invest your life in. And you have such high hopes for the future, and you see such potential in this field. And then you begin to see the other side of the job. You begin to rub shoulders with those you work with. You see lack of character and integrity at the company or in that field or with the people that you work with. You began to see it not as a career, but now as a job. You see the workload, the demands, the sacrifices you're having to make, the challenges you have to navigate. With that first job, you start making money. More money than you probably ever made before, because this is your career now. It's not just a job. And you're excited. And now that you've got the income, you're spending more, much like Dave shared he did. Much like Dennis shared he did. You try to set a budget, but you don't really follow it that closely because you've got a lot coming in. And then all of a sudden, a breakdown happens. Your health is compromised. A car breaks down. There's a fire, and you weren't insured. And now everything that you thought your life was pointing to, your financial life breaks down. Maybe it's a faith thing. Maybe you've had a breakdown in your faith. You met Jesus. You started coming to church, and you experienced faith and God and Scripture and community in a way in which you never imagined before. And for some way, in some way, some reason, faith in God and truth is making sense to you for the first time in your life. You begin getting on fire with God, and it feels so good. And then in a moment of temptation, your character fails. You fail. Your character blows something up in your life, and now you've got these pieces that you've got to try to put back together, and God feels distant, and you feel distant, and you have doubts, and you have worries and fears, insecurities. Or you start to get on track with your health or your diet. You're seeing some results. You're feeling inspired and hopeful. And then life gets complicated. Your schedule gets busy. A day off becomes a weekend off, becomes 3 months off, and now you're struggling with the motivation to get started again. Because all the ground you covered and all the progress you made has been lost. See, breakdowns happen. Sometimes they happen to us, and sometimes they happen because of us. Sometimes we can't even pinpoint where they actually came from. We just know that they're real. We just know that they happen. So with all this in mind, let me ask you this question. Are you where you want to be? In your walk with God? In your marriage? In your dating relationship? In your single life or in your career? Are you where you want to be in your financial life? And I don't think it's an accident that this message is today because it just fits so beautifully. If there's an area in your finances you're not happy, then why would you not come tonight at 6 o'clock just to find out if maybe, just maybe, through this system that's been developed based on biblical truth, maybe there's something there you've never thought about before. Maybe there's a discipline you've never put in practice. Maybe there's a new way to look at money you've never thought of before. It's free. It just takes time. Are you happy with where you want to be in the area of your parenting? With the close proximity or intimacy that your family has with each other? With where your kids are at in their lives? The decisions they're making? With where your teenager is at? And with who it is they're surrounding themselves with that are being influenced by? Are you okay? Are you where you want to be in those areas? Let's go a little layer deeper that no one else can see. Are you Are you where you want to be with your character and integrity? Are you cutting corners? Are you where you want to be in your attitude towards things? The attitude you carry, are you pessimistic? Are you glass half empty? Are you okay with that? Are you where you want to be? Are you where God wants you to be in that area? Maybe in your knowledge of God's word or God's promises or God's truth, are you right where you want to be with a full understanding of everything God has for you? Are you where you want to be in how you practice disciplines of the faith in Jesus Christ? So forgiveness, letting things go, trusting God, not worrying, but choosing to worship instead. See, breakdowns happen. We can't control that they come, but what we can control is how we respond and how we view them. See, each of us choose to view a breakdown, something that takes us by surprise. We either view it as literally our life breaking down and things falling apart, or we see it as an opportunity for God to bring about a breakthrough. This could just be another stone that God is about to help us break through. See, you have the power to make this choice. It's not as easy as it sounds, I give you that. But in life, we choose to either shut down and give in, or we choose to allow breakdowns to be the catalyst for us to rise up and for our faith to rise, to press on beyond where everybody else chooses to walk away and quit. Today, we're going to walk through really the breakdown of a breakthrough. We're going to break it down step by step, and the first piece is simply be honest. It's that question, are you okay with where you're at? Be honest with where you are right now. Be honest with where it is you want to be. Because until you're actually honest and take a true assessment of where you're at in life and whether you've met all the dreams that you set to realize or whether there's still many dreams left to be realized, until you start there, you won't experience a breakthrough because you're just stuck in a rut. You're just doing the same thing over and over again and you're not taking an assessment of where you're at. See, it's honesty that brings about a holy discontent with the current state of things, a frustration with where we're at that leads to the realization that we've got to start doing or thinking or behaving differently so we can experience a breakthrough. Now, the Apostle Paul is someone that helps us see the keys of a breakthrough. If we were to break down the pieces of a breakthrough, Paul's the one that gives us really some core steps, core stages to what it means to experience an incredible breakthrough in different areas of our life. They're overarching principles that don't deal just with finances or just with relationships or just with emotional stability or just with faith, but they're principles that apply into every area of our lives. These are the things that lead to us breaking through barriers that we've never broken through before. Paul draws attention in Philippians chapter 3 to his own spiritual breakthrough, where he was at. He starts with this honesty. In verse 5 of chapter 3, he says, I was circumcised when I was eight days old. I'm a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin. A real Hebrew, if there ever was one, that's who I was. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church of Jesus. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. Paul's saying, I was in the right place. I said all the right things. I did all the right things. I was in the right crowd. Perfectly obedient. And yet, in all of this, pride began to develop and it led to a breakdown. In verse 7, he continues, I once thought these were valuable, that these were the focus, these were everything. But now, I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ and become one with Him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with Himself depends on faith. Not my ability, not my performance, not my obedience. It depends on faith in Him. See, after he identifies honestly where he was, he points us to the next piece, step 2, in a breakthrough. He says, I want to know Christ. After all this, what he's identifying is this hunger, this appetite. He said in what we just read, I want to become one with Him. Everything else is worthless. I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage. I no longer lean on my own righteousness or obedience, but I become righteous through faith. I want to know Christ. Now, this seems like a silly thing for an apostle to say. When we really step back and look at it, I want to know Christ, why would he say that? I mean, for one, he is the guy that's right now writing the Bible. Anybody else wrote the Bible before? Did God select you? No, he selected Paul. One time the greatest enemy of what God was attempting to do through Christ and his church, now the greatest supporter of it, the most effective prophet, the most effective apostle in the early church days. Says, I want to know Christ. Seems kind of silly. I mean, the Holy Spirit has selected him to inspire him, given him the words to capture and put down that was the living word of God, the living, active, sharper than any other double-edged sword. And we reflect on the early church. There's really no one else that compares in that first century that had as much of an impact on the future health of God's church than that of the Apostle Paul. He already knew Christ. So what's he really communicating to us? What's he really saying? What he's really saying is, I'm not there yet. I haven't arrived. I've not learned all there is to learn. He didn't know he was writing the Bible. We reflect on that now, knowing the context. He's writing the Bible. God has selected him to convey these words, and yet he's even the one saying, I haven't got it all figured out yet. I'm not there. I've not discovered everything. I've not completed my exploration of the vastness that is Jesus Christ. But he's saying, but what I do want, I want to know Christ more. That's what he's saying. I want more. He's challenging us in the second step to be hungry. First, to be honest with where we're at, with where we're not satisfied, where our lives have built to this point. But the second piece, before we do anything else, is to develop this spirit, this hunger, this appetite for more of Jesus. Not just for more truth, not just for principles, not just for things to do, but primarily for Jesus. I want Christ. I want more of him, to discover him deeper. To explore the God-man farther, to walk with the Savior closer, to experience this grace giver even greater. See, God's like the vastness of an ocean. Think about an ocean. You can't see the other side. It goes as long, in every direction as far as you can see. God is the vastness of an ocean, and the best man has ever done is snorkel the surface. That's it. He says, I want to know Christ more. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power. Experience the power that raised him from the dead. What a hunger. I want to suffer with him. This is one most of us wouldn't put on our list, our bucket list. Yeah, one of my top 10 things. I want to suffer with Christ, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I'll experience a resurrection from the dead. He's saying, my desire, my hunger to experience a resurrection from the dead is so great, I'm willing to suffer, I'm willing to die. That's nothing compared to experiencing the resurrection, the power that brought Christ back from the dead. I don't mean to say I've already achieved these things. He reiterates it. I'm being honest. I haven't arrived there. I haven't achieved all these things, that I've already reached perfection. I press on. I have this hunger to possess the perfection for which Christ Jesus first possess me. Are you as hungry as Paul is here in your faith? Are you as hungry to suffer with Jesus? Are you as hungry to press on beyond the point when everybody else around you says give up? Or do you think you've arrived? Do you think you have this whole Christianity thing figured out and nailed? Do you think you have your whole life under control? Because normally it's those that think their life is all under control that when you reflect, you realize, well, that's because you think it's under your control. It's not because it's under his. When you reflect upon Scripture and you see people's lives who are put under the control of God, it's a little scary because he calls people to steps of faith that are beyond what they think they're capable of. Paul's honest, Paul's hungry, and Paul expects more. In your faith, do you expect more? Do you expect God's going to do more in you and for you? Do you expect God is going to call you to more than you think you're capable of yourself? He says, I press on, I keep going, I'm far from finished, I'm not giving up. In a different translation, a paraphrase in the Living Bible, it says it this way. It says, I've learned, in verse 12, I haven't learned all that I should even yet, but I keep working. God has more toward the day when I will finally be, I want you to hear that, I will finally be, not do, I will finally be all that Christ saved me for and wants me to be. Not my dreams, not my will, as we sang about just a minute ago, but it's my joy for your will, your way. Paul's basically saying God created him with a purpose, and he doesn't want to stop any steps short of discovering the full breadth of all God designed him for. He knows he isn't where he needs to be yet, but he's hungry for more, and he expects more, that he will reach the impact and the contribution to the gospel presentation that God designed him and called him for God's glory. Now, this is huge. We have to kind of wrap our minds around this, because oftentimes the reason we don't experience the more breakthroughs, the more God has for us, is because we don't actually believe or expect God to do more with us. So you think about it. Without an honest assessment of where we're currently at, without a hunger to know Christ more and to press more into Him and develop our personal relationship with Him more, without a hunger to elevate the priority we put on Sunday morning worship together, without a hunger to elevate the priority we place upon community and growing in our faith in a collection of a small group, the same that Jesus designed for the disciples and for Himself, without that raised hunger and priority over those things in life, to plant ourselves in environments that will develop us in our relationship with Christ, without a deep faith in those things and a practice of those things, we will not believe God has more for us. If we try to live with one foot in the world and one foot in a relationship with God, too often our own insecurities, our own failures, our own weaknesses will rise up. I mean, maybe the reason you've been felt stuck where you're at in relationship to God or in some area of life, maybe the reason you felt stuck for so long in one or two areas is not because of that guy that was in your life. It's not because of that girl that was in your life. Maybe it isn't because you need more money, which is what you often think it is. Maybe it isn't because you need more time or more energy, or you need better education. Or you need all those other things are symptoms. Maybe the one thing holding you back is you don't really believe God has more for you. Because until you're honest with where you're at, until you develop a hunger to know Christ, and until you begin to believe He has more for you, more in you than you've ever discovered, and more He has for you to be, then you're going to look around and you say, this is all I'm capable of, until you reach that point. Maybe those are the thoughts that run through your head. This is the best I can do. This is the best I got. This is the best I'm worthy of. This is the best things are going to get. This is the most I'm capable of. Maybe you think you've hit your ceiling relationally, spiritually, financially. Yeah, but better you understand, I've tried relationships 100 times and they don't work. My bet there is you've tried them the world's way and not God's way. Trusted my husband 30 times before, I've forgiven my wife 30 times before, I don't have the capacity to do it again. Well, Jesus forgave you, and He says the same Spirit at work in Him is at work in us. I've tried to get out of debt before, Fetter. I've tried it 6, 7, 8, 20, 30, 40 times. I can't do it. Probably because you've never had someone alongside you holding you accountable to the steps you need to lay out in the process that you need to work to help you make those hard decisions, to hold your feet to the fire when you're feeling like you need to spend money again. I've tried to forgive. I've tried to be more patient. I've tried to let things go. Paul knew God had more for him. In just a minute, we're going to actually read further how Paul uses the illustration of athletes. I love this illustration. He uses it a number of times throughout his letters. And for whatever reason, Paul knew that there was a drive and a mindset and an attitude of an athlete that's competitive, right? If you're athletic, you know it's one more rep on the weights. It's one more score. It's one more second shaved off your best time. It's one more inch higher to jump. It's one more pin to the mat. See, athletes that win, they're hungry, they reach deep, they press on, and those that win consistently move beyond the limits of where others give up and walk away. Paul's saying this is the desire, the hunger we have to perform at the highest level. This is where we should live spiritually, to discover the more God has for us. We have to go beyond the limits of where everybody else walks away. And when you reach the point where you kick your feet up and say, okay, this is good enough for today, that's far enough, then you've quit pursuing the Savior who risked everything to pursue you. Is there a greater, more disrespectful attitude we can carry than to think, okay, God, I've gone far enough. That's enough faith. That's enough challenge in my life. I don't know if there's a more disrespectful way we can interact with God than to say, no, I'm not going to trust you with that. Yeah, I'll trust you with my eternity, but I can't trust you with anything else. That's just silly to give up pursuing Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Paul continues, I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past. Be honest with where you're at. Be hungry for Christ. Expect that He has more for you, and forget the past. You're not defined by what you've done or what you haven't done. You can choose to be defined by what Christ has done for you, to be defined by who He says that you are. Paul said earlier, he says, he's reiterating the same thing over and over again. Earlier he says, I consider the past worthless. I consider everything else worthless. Forget about it compared to the infinite value of knowing Jesus Christ. Many of us have lived in prison to our past, and in so doing, what we're demonstrating is we don't really believe that God has truly saved us from them. We don't really believe in the power of God that he's rescued us from whatever your past was. And when we live in prison to the past, we're incapable of doing what Paul says next. He says, I focus on one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on, I move forward to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us. Be honest, be hungry, expect more, forget the past and move forward into my preferred future, into my dreams, my plans, no, into God's future to receive the heavenly prize for which he through Christ is calling me. This is the testimony of the man named Paul who led the church of Jesus in the first century, who was once named Saul, the man that tried to destroy the church of Jesus Christ once and for all. See, all of us have things in our past that we wish weren't there, but understand God is in the midst of redeeming you from the past and unleashing you into his future for you. The more you remind yourself of your past or you allow the enemy to remind you of your past, the longer you remain imprisoned to what took place yesterday and the more incapable you are of moving forward into God's tomorrow. It doesn't matter how you were raised. Stop using it as an excuse. God is raising you now if you're a disciple. Doesn't matter what someone else did to you way back then because he's rescued you from them. He is God. He is your Father. It doesn't matter what they said about you because he's the one that speaks into your life and calls you masterpiece. He calls you chosen. He calls you son. He calls you daughter. And it doesn't matter where you are right now. And it doesn't matter if you are where you want to be right now because I can assure you God has much, much, much more in store for you than you could ever begin to imagine. I believe that for your life. I believe that for my life. And corporately, I believe that for our church. We have not arrived. There's far more God is calling us to accomplish for his will, for his plan. The question is, will we move forward, surrendering all to discover his future? Or will we remain in chains to what was, thinking the best days are behind us, not ahead of us? Well, to finish the story that I started with, last week I shared about Kaylee's trip to the emergency room and her desire, knowing we were going to the hospital, not liking it, her desire for literally over 4 hours to literally be in Daddy's arms and nowhere else, to be in the comfort of Daddy's arms. It was a few days later that she tried to attack the dragon and lost miserably. But it was a few days after that she saw another roller coaster. In fact, it was a real roller coaster, not a kiddie coaster. And she was tall enough for that one too. And in the comfort of her daddy beside her with his arm around her, she dug deep and found the courage to say, yeah, I want to do it. And she rode the beast, laughing all the way. She forgot about her past, and with her father beside her, moved forward. And Daddy was so proud of her boldness. So what breakthrough do you need in your life? What is it that's been plaguing you for days, for weeks, for months, for years, for decades, and you continue to let it dangle behind you rather than amputating that out of your life and saying, that is no longer who I am. God has saved me from that. Before we close in prayer, just for a couple of moments, as we're kind of in a season talking about breakthroughs, I want to invite Corey and Tony Jr. to come up and join me.